Hi everyone, welcome to EHS, this week's podcast for the week ending October the 10th. I'm Nicoleta Cunha.
And I'm Allison Granke.
And we're bringing you the latest stories in environmental health and safety. So Allison, I think you're going to start off with a story from OSHA.
Yeah, so this Thursday, OSHA Chief David Michaels announced that OSHA is launching a national dialogue with stakeholders to better manage the risks to worker safety associated with using hazardous chemicals in the workplace. So one part of this dialogue will be seeking out more information on strategies for updating permissible exposure limits. According to Michaels, workers are constantly being exposed to levels of chemicals that are not safe, yet they are legal. These permissible exposure limits, also known as PELs, are intended to protect workers against the negative health effects of exposure to hazardous chemicals. OSHA's current PELs cover approximately 500 chemicals, yet Michaels was quite forthcoming in pointing out that this is only a small fraction of the tens of thousands of chemicals that are used in American workplaces. In addition, 95% of the current PELs have not been updated since their adoption in 1971. So that's only 30 PELs that have been updated. Considering how much science has evolved over the past 40 years and how much more we know about the long-term negative effects of exposure to some chemicals, that number is really quite astonishing. Michaels admitted that OSHA is struggling to keep up as new chemicals are introduced into workplaces every year. Issuing a new exposure limit or updating an existing one requires a substantial amount of resources. So expensive economical and technical feasibility studies often take years to complete, and courts require complex analysis for each of these proposed new or updated PELs. The result is that many of OSHA's chemical exposure standards are dangerously out of date.
What are the details of this national dialogue that OSHA is hoping to start?
Well, OSHA is asking public health experts, chemical manufacturers, employers, unions, and anyone else who is committed to preventing workplace illness to help them identify new approaches for addressing chemical hazards. So they're hoping for public commentary on streamlined approaches for risk assessment and feasibility analysis, as well as alternative approaches for managing chemical exposure. So that might include control banding, task-based approaches, and informed substitution.
What is control banding?
It's actually a technique used to guide the assessment and management of workplace risks. So according to NIOSH, this technique determines a control measure based on a range or band of hazards and exposures. So the comment period for this RFI will continue for 180 days. And if you're interested, you can find a link in the resources section of this podcast for instructions on how to submit your comments.
And hopefully by opening this dialogue, OSHA can improve the safety of employees that are working with those hazardous substances.
Absolutely. Think you have a story for us, Nicola, coming from the FDA?
Yes, so proposed revisions to four rules in the FDA's Food Safety and Modernization Act, FSMA, are intended to make the original proposals more flexible and practical. The revisions are based on comments that were received from farmers and others that were directly affected by the original proposals, and the revisions are now open to public comment. So the original proposals related to produce safety and elicited the most public comment, with more than 15,000 sent to the FDA. So in response to those comments, the proposed revisions include more flexible criteria for determining safety of agricultural water for certain uses and a tiered approach to water testing. The FDA also decided to conduct a risk assessment and extensive research on its originally proposed manure strategy. Because of that commitment to research and risk assessment, the FDA is deferring its decision. Original proposals related to preventative controls for human food drew more than 8,000 comments, prompting several revisions as well. These include not requiring farms that pack or hold food from other farms to be subject to the preventative controls rule. The proposed rule on preventative controls for animal food prompted more than 2,000 comments. So the FDA is proposing a more comprehensive evaluation of food and supplier risk as one revision to its foreign supplier verification programs. The original proposal prompted more than 300 comments. So comments are being accepted on all the revisions, and a public meeting is planned for Thursday, November 13th in College Park, Maryland. The final set of rules will be issued in 2015, so we'll definitely be reporting back on those rules in the new year.
I've also got a story on food safety this week, coming from Canada. So the Canadian federal government is investing $7.5 million in a new national livestock traceability database that will be launching in 2016. Once it's been fully implemented, this new database will be able to track the locations and movement of livestock in the beef, dairy, veal, pork, sheep, bison, goat, and poultry industries. So bringing together information from various industry groups and combining it all in one location. Experts appear to be optimistic that this database will go a long way towards improving Canadian food safety. So to learn more about this proposed database, you can find a link in the resources section of this podcast. And our final story this week is also coming out of Canada. SafeWork Manitoba is an agency that works with the Workers' Compensation Board in the Canadian province of Manitoba. And this month, they launched an interesting new initiative designed to encourage safe work behavior and reduce workplace accidents. So the agency has a new mobile unit that will be traveling to businesses, work sites, and schools to demonstrate safety hazards and how to protect workers. The mobile unit demonstrates what can happen if proper precautions aren't taken. So, for example, they use a dummy to demonstrate what it would be like to fall without the proper gear in place. They also show the difference between what happens when shooting a nail gun at safety glasses versus shooting a nail gun at a pair of non-protective glasses. It's just one more way that hopefully those in the safety profession can drive home the message of the importance of using the proper gear and having the proper training. So being able to see the consequences of unsafe behavior with your own eyes can help that message resonate. The mobile unit is part of Manitoba's 5-year plan for workplace injury and illness prevention, which is a focused strategy intending to build on the province's current protections for Manitoba workers. And the mobile unit's presentation is free and obviously portable, and the unit is already booked for the rest of October.
It's great to see safety professionals taking a unique approach to training.
Absolutely. I think seeing that kind of stuff happening right in front of you as opposed to watching a video, you know, that's dated or just hearing or watching PowerPoint slides, you know, this really, really does drive that message home.
And I think that's it for the week. We hope you enjoyed this week's stories, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a safe week, everyone.